Psalm 23, I'd like to read the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word, and we ask as we consider this very well-known portion of Scripture, that you would help us to understand the glorious realities revealed within this precious psalm. Please encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this psalm is probably the most well-known portion of Scripture in the whole Bible. Millions have memorized it. Christians use it to comfort people going through severe trials. If you had to go and comfort someone who was dying tomorrow and you could read one portion of Scripture, it would probably be Psalm 23. It will be the last words that many people will hear on their deathbeds, and it's quoted frequently at funerals. It is a healing balm for a wounded and struggling spirit, refreshing water for a parched soul, relief for the one who is crushed by burdens. Okay, it's comforting. It gives hope. And if comprehended for the believers, it's exhilarating. This is a precious psalm. This is glorious. This is life-altering for us, that the Lord is our shepherd. This psalm is a masterpiece throughout. It's quite short, and yet it's comprehensive. It's a very intimate metaphor. Okay? It's a diamond that dazzles and radiates as it's held up to the light. Okay? It glistens in splendor and majesty as this psalm unpacks the meaning of the first phrase. Okay? This psalm unpacks what it means for the Lord to be our shepherd. But if a psalm could ever stand on one line, it is this psalm. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'd like to spend our time unpacking just this one phrase. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'd like to share 9 observations that help us grasp the wonder and the relevance of this revelation. So observation number 1 is the role of the shepherd in Bible times. Okay, in order to grasp the splendor of this image and all that it conveys, okay, it's vital for you and I to have a basic understanding of the practice of shepherding in Bible times. Okay, if we read this through a 21st century Australian farming practices, then much will be lost. I'm not sure if you've ever seen a sheep farm, but in Australia it's completely different, okay, that they're all fenced in paddocks, and so forth, and there's often, if you go out west, there'll be hundreds, if not thousands, of sheep together. Okay, we need to forsake that thinking. Okay, shepherds in Bible times would live with the sheep. Okay, most sheep farmers today will live in a nice home. Okay, but shepherds would actually dwell with the sheep. Okay, so it's not like in Australia where sheep are left in fenced paddocks. Okay, but rather these shepherds, they dwelt with the sheep and they did everything for them. Okay, they labored to nourish, guide, and protect day and night, summer and winter, rain, hail, or shine. And a good shepherd cared greatly for the sheep, that there was a connection and a concern. The shepherd would provide medical care, rescue them when they strayed, fight off predators. Okay, if you remember the story of David, okay, the shepherd would lead them to food and water. Now, usually the shepherds would name all of their sheep, okay, like we do our dogs and cats. And sheep would actually respond to the voice of their shepherd. Okay, often different flocks, they would end up mingling, particularly around a water supply. Okay, you might have 3 or 4 flocks verge in on the one well to get water. And in order to separate the flocks, a shepherd would cooey out a certain cry, and his sheep would respond. Okay, they would follow the voice of their shepherd. Okay, but if another shepherd uttered the same cry, they wouldn't respond, okay, because that wasn't their shepherd's voice. And this reveals the intimate relationship. Now, in Bible times, typically in the spring after the winter rains, the shepherds could stay close to their home village because there would be plenty of pasture for the sheep. And they were also allowed to graze on the leftover grain after harvest. Okay, if you remember the practice, it would be harvested, then the poor people could come in and reap, and whatever was left behind, the sheep could then come in to eat. So in times like this, that the shepherds could still be involved in their society. But after this period, the shepherd would then lead the sheep to go and find more food. And often this would involve having to go up into the mountainous country, and the shepherds would be isolated from civilization for a period of time. So it would just be them and the sheep. Okay, so the only people they can talk to, particularly if they're by themselves, is just the sheep. But the point that I want us to grasp is that the shepherd cared greatly for the sheep, and the sheep were completely dependent on the shepherd. Okay, dependent on the shepherd for protection, for grazing, for water, for shelter, caring for injuries. Okay, the sheep wouldn't last long without a shepherd because they can't care for themselves. And hence the faithful shepherd was inseparable from their flock, that there was a loving and caring relationship. Okay, the shepherd would do everything for the sheep, and the sheep trusted their shepherd. Okay, it's also important to understand that shepherds were lowly. Okay, that this was not a revered occupation in society. And usually it was left to the responsibility of the youngest son. So it would the older son, he would do his time, and he would palm it off to the next brother, palm it off to the next brother, and the youngest would get stuck with it. Okay, we see this practice with David. Okay, 1 Samuel 16:11 says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Okay, it was common amongst the Jewish rabbis to view the shepherd as the most contemptible occupation. Okay, it was an incredibly lowly task. So that's observation one. Observation two. This is not the only time that this metaphor is used. Okay, the Lord shepherding his people is a theme, okay, that is found not only in Psalm 23. And we're actually first introduced to this concept in the book of Genesis. Okay, Genesis 49 and verse 24 says, "But his bow abounded in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Okay, the context, Jacob is blessing his sons, and when speaking of God, refers to him as the shepherd. Okay, this image is used in a number of other places throughout the Psalter. Now, Psalm 80 verse 1 says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth." Psalm 95 and verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Psalm 100 verse 3, "Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And the metaphor of a shepherd was also used in prophecy to speak of the coming Messiah, okay, which is very important. Remember that, we'll come back to it. Okay, Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." Okay, Ezekiel 34, that this begins by a pronouncement of woe against the shepherds of Israel. They had failed to feed their sheep. But then from verse 11 down to 24, it speaks of the Lord as the shepherd. And verse 23, speaking of Messiah, says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." And we also see in Zechariah 13, verse 7, okay, if you listen carefully to this, it should trigger a New Testament account. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Okay, perhaps that makes you think of a scene just before the cross, the words of Jesus, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And that's exactly what happened. Okay, Jesus was smitten, and the disciples were scattered. So the metaphor of a shepherd is seen throughout the Old Testament as an appropriate illustration of the Lord's ministry to his people, and it's also used to prophesy the ministry of Messiah. Observation number three, this was written by David. If you look down at your Bible, it most likely says a Psalm of David before verse 1. And although that isn't inspired, there's little debate about the authorship of this psalm. Okay, there is varying opinion as to when David recorded this. Some say it was obviously early on in his life when he was a shepherd. Others will say it was near the end of his life. Okay, I favor the view that it was later in his life, because to me that this psalm is dripping with a confidence and trust in his God, which had no doubt been proven through the trials and troubles of life. But what I want us to think about is that when we read this psalm, we are very quick to personalize it, okay, and that's okay. But it is important to remember that in its original context, okay, first and foremost, this is David's personal testimony. Okay, this is his declaration. It's David looking back over his life and he's reflecting on all that God has done for him, and the image of a shepherd with his sheep, remembering this is something that David is very familiar with. He was a shepherd in his younger years. This really encapsulated his relationship with his God. Okay, David knew firsthand the roles of sheep and the roles of the shepherd, and he could see how this fits so wonderfully. Okay, and I believe that this psalm, it's like it's David bragging. Okay, you know, look at my shepherd. Look at who he is. There is no greater shepherd than my shepherd. Okay, so this is his personal testimony. And another significant point that you and I, we won't immediately grasp, but the original readers would have, is that David was viewed as a shepherd because he was the king of Israel. Okay, this was a common image that was used for a ruler. The ruler was regarded as a shepherd of the people. Okay, when David became king, the people said in 2 Samuel 5:2, said, "Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed," okay, that Hebrew word can be translated shepherd, "thou shalt feed," or "thou shalt shepherd my people, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel." So as the king, he was to feed, he was to shepherd the people. The psalmist said the same thing of David. Psalm 78, 70 and 71 says, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed," that's that Hebrew word, could be translated shepherd, "Jacob his people, and Israel, his inheritance." So for the Israelites, when they read this, that they would have thought, here is our shepherd, and our shepherd is a sheep. Okay, our shepherd needs a shepherd. Okay, and there's certainly a New Testament application. Okay, your shepherds, your pastors, we too are also sheep. It's important to remember that. Okay, but here we have God, but by shepherding David, okay, watching over and providing for him, he's also doing this for Israel. So he was caring for his people by caring for their king. Observation number four is the identity of the shepherd. Okay, this is obvious but important. Okay, this psalm is precious because of who the shepherd is. Okay, who's the shepherd? It is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay, that's the Lord's proper name, Yahweh. Okay, this is the personal name of God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Okay, the great I am, the Almighty, the Eternal, get my word right, okay, the self-existent one, that the Creator God, He is the shepherd. Okay, does the Lord have adequate credentials to be your shepherd? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. Okay, that there is nobody who is more qualified or suited. Okay, brethren, don't miss the obvious point that God is our shepherd. Okay, that's staggering. That is stunning. It's He who provides and protects us. It is He who guides and feeds us. It is He who cares about us, who is concerned about us. Okay, that there is no possible greater shepherd. And if you know and understand anything about His character and ability, then this will be a most glorious reality to you, that the God of the Bible, He is our shepherd. Observation 5 is the great condescension of the shepherd. Okay, remember, the role of a shepherd is a very lowly task. It was not sought after. A shepherd was not envied. In fact, society viewed them with contempt. And yet, here is the Lord, here is God, okay, choosing to identify Himself as a shepherd. Okay, is that not a declaration of His tender love and care toward us, that He would stoop so low for our sake? Okay, Spurgeon has some wonderful commentaries on Psalms, and he says this. He says, "What condescension is this, that the infinite Lord assumes toward His people the office and character of a shepherd? It should be the subject of grateful admiration that the great God allows Himself to be compared to something so lowly. Does this not set forth His great love and care for His own people?" Okay, there is this amazing juxtaposition of ideas. Okay, we've got this, the infinitely greatest being choosing to be a shepherd. Okay, one of the lowliest of tasks. So don't miss the stunning condescension in this psalm. Observation number 6 is the Lord isn't everybody's shepherd. Okay, Psalm 23 is what we would say today, a word for Christians. Okay, it's a word for believers. That the Lord is not a shepherd in this sense for all people. Okay, He's not the universal shepherd. Okay, so often this is used as a comforting tool for those who are outside of the sheepfold. Okay, if you went to a funeral tomorrow, there's probably a fair chance that this psalm will be read. Okay, I know I've been to a funeral of someone who I knew was quite a strong atheist, and yet Psalm 23 was read. Okay, I found that quite ironic. Okay, but a question. Okay, a question. How do you know if the Lord is your shepherd? Okay, how do you know if the Lord is your shepherd? Well, if you remember previously, I mentioned that the sheep know the voice of their Savior. Of their shepherd. I'm giving it away. Okay, they know the voice of their shepherd and they respond. Okay, do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? Okay, John chapter 10 is where Jesus teaches He is the great shepherd. And He says this in verse 27. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So Jesus reveals two tests. Number one, do you hear His voice? In other words, do you listen to His word? Do you listen to the Bible? And number two, they follow Jesus. Okay, they do what He says. Okay, so this is the test of whether one is His sheep or not. Okay, do you listen to and do you obey the Bible? Okay, it's very interesting that Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. Okay, groundbreaking truth, I know. Okay, but I want you to notice this. Because Psalm 22, okay, that is all about the suffering Messiah. Okay, it's all about the cross. And hence, we need to know the suffering Christ. If you look back to verse 1 of Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay, remember, that was Jesus' cry on the cross. That reveals what that psalm is about. So we need to know the suffering Christ, the one forsaken by God, in order to know Christ as the shepherd. Okay, so one is a sheep if he or she is in Christ. It's not a universal declaration. Observation number 7, we are sheep. It's important to understand who we are in order to grasp the glory of this psalm. If you and I have inflated views of ourselves, which we often can, then we may find it quite offensive to be called a sheep. Okay, if you know anything about sheep, guess what they're known for? To be dumb, to be stupid, and to be stubborn. And you were saying, whoa, that's a bit harsh. Okay, you know, it's very humbling to realize what we are. Okay, that you and I are sheep. But humility is a necessity if one is to grasp the splendor of this psalm. Okay, it's interesting that David was somebody who knew sheep quite well. And he had no qualms in describing himself as a sheep. But understand what this is declaring. Okay, sheep are helpless animals. They're known for their stupidity. They cannot take care of themselves. They require meticulous care. They are stubborn. They are fearful. They need to be guided, protected, and fed. They're really the opposite of self-sufficient. Okay, they're completely dependent on the shepherd. Okay, that's the image that David had in mind. Okay, Spurgeon again said this: David had himself been a keeper of sheep and understood both the needs of the sheep and the many cares of a shepherd. He compares himself to a creature weak, defenseless, and foolish, and he takes God to be his provider, preserver, director, and indeed, his everything. And furthermore, okay, sheep were owned by the shepherd. Okay, and there's a powerful parallel here. You and I, as sheep, we belong to the shepherd because our shepherd has brought us with his own blood. So we need to grasp that we are sheep. And as much as we probably don't like to admit it, there are some striking parallels between us and sheep. But if we don't grasp our true state, then the wonder of this psalm will be lost. As one writer put it, before a man can truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd," he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature. For he cannot know that God is his shepherd unless he feels in himself that he has the true nature of a sheep. He must relate to a sheep in its foolishness, its dependency, and in the warped nature of its will. Okay, so you and I, we need to understand that we are sheep and that we need a shepherd. Okay, and this is often hard for us today because, you know, self-sufficiency is the message of society. Okay, but that's not the message of this psalm. Observation number 8 is this is deeply personal. I want to draw your attention to what is probably the sweetest word in this statement, and that is my. Okay, that the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, and this conveys that it's deeply personal, that this is an intimate and relational concept. Okay, it doesn't say that Jesus is the world's shepherd, nor does it say that the Lord is Israel's shepherd. Okay, so it's not corporate, and that would be wonderful in of itself, but rather it's individualized and it's personalized. Okay, you could replace the word my with your name. Okay, so the psalmist is saying the Lord is David's shepherd. Okay, and this is conveying a real and personal shepherd for David himself. Okay, put your name in this verse. I could read it, the Lord is Brendan's shepherd. Okay, this is an incredibly personal reality. Okay, and again, isn't that staggering? That God is my shepherd. That I am his sheep, that he loves me, that he cares for me. He is concerned about a nobody like me. He leads, he guides, he protects, and he provides for me. My friend, that's a great comfort. That's a wonderful security. that God's my shepherd. God is your shepherd. And this is in the present tense. Okay, this is a continual reality. Okay, for the believer, we are under the personal care of the Lord. And observation number 9, okay, the final observation. Okay, this is all about Jesus. Okay, Jesus fulfills this psalm in at least 2 ways, and they are linked. Number 1, Jesus was a sheep. Okay, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And in the incarnation, okay, in the incarnation, Jesus was a sheep. Okay, think about that. Jesus trusted his Father with his life. He was dependent and he was submissive to the will of the Father. So we could say that the Lord is Jesus' shepherd. Okay, Jesus lived the life of a sheep. He experienced the shepherd's care. He was led to the still waters. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. His soul was restored by the shepherd. He looked unto the Father when his soul was cast down. Look at the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, when he was faced with the shadow of death, his Father's goodness and mercy followed and carried him through. Okay, this is the wonder of the incarnation. Okay, that Jesus submitted himself to this. He knows what it's like to be a sheep. Okay, it's a glorious thing to ponder that God would submit himself to such a stunning condescension. Jesus became a sheep so that he could die for the sheep. Okay, so Jesus has lived and experienced this 23rd Psalm. And the second way that this is all about Jesus is that Jesus is our shepherd. Okay, as I mentioned previously, that the prophesied Messiah would be a shepherd. Okay, and what did Jesus declare? Okay, well, John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What a declaration. Hebrews 13:20 calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. Okay, my friend, Jesus is our shepherd. He is the living shepherd. And again, isn't it amazing that Jesus would stoop so low to be our shepherd? But brethren, that's the teaching of Scripture. Okay, and Jesus is a good shepherd to you and to me. Okay, we can claim this psalm as our own. For Jesus makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us to still waters. He restores our downcast soul. He leads us down the paths of righteousness. He is with us through the valley of the shadow of death. His goodness and mercy carries us through, and we will dwell with him forever. Okay, brethren, this is a glorious reality that Jesus is our shepherd, that he cares deeply for you. He is intimately involved in your life, okay, and he is a good shepherd. Okay, there is such thing as a bad shepherd. Okay, under a bad shepherd, sheep will suffer, they will starve. But that will never happen under the good shepherd. Okay, with Christ, we will always flourish and thrive. We will always have everything that we need. Okay, I don't know about you, but to think that God in Christ is deeply concerned about me as an individual person, that's a stunning reality. That blows my mind. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's the truth. Jesus knows and cares about all of his sheep. And that includes you. And that includes me. Okay, this is a great comfort and security in our sojourn on this earth. Okay, no matter what we're enduring, okay, no matter what we're going through in life, and let's face it, sometimes life can be quite rough. But no matter what happens, okay, our shepherd is with us and he's for us. And the promise is, I shall not want. All of our needs will be met by our shepherd. Okay, and as I thought about this, this just becomes a real bragging point for us. It's like, hey, world, look at my shepherd. Look at how great he is. I'm not sure if sheep can brag or not. I can't talk to sheep, but I'm sure if sheep could brag, okay, that they would like to brag about their shepherd, trying to make other sheep jealous. And for us, we have the greatest shepherd, brethren, the greatest shepherd. And may we let the world know how wonderful our shepherd is, how great he is. And we can trust, we can depend on him, we can have an unshakable confidence in our shepherd, no matter what happens in life, because of who he is. And if you ever doubt that, remember, our shepherd is so great that he died for us. He died for his sheep. There is no greater sacrifice. Beloved, that's our shepherd. Okay, that's our shepherd. And may we be encouraged and strengthened as we remember that Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus cares deeply for us. And no matter what unfolds in life, we can be confident in him because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you that we can spend some time considering what is a very well-known portion of Scripture, and yet one that ought to be very dear to us. Thank you for the truth that it contains. Thank you that Jesus is our shepherd, and I do pray that this wonderful reality would comfort us, would strengthen us, would help us to live our lives well in this world. Lord, we know life is often so very hard, and yet we're not alone. We have the greatest shepherd with us, beside us, to help us through this life. And Father, we are so grateful for that. Lord, as we go our separate ways now, please keep us safe as we travel home and until we meet again. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.